podcast Echo of Memory. I'm Tata, and today we turn our attention to a challenging but essential subject. How Roma voices about their own Holocaust were silenced, neglected, and only much later recognized. We are going to talk about something that might feel familiar to many of you listening. The weight of family secrets and the stories that live in the spaces between what's said or what's not said. For decades after the Holocaust, Roma families carried their trauma in silence, not because they forgot, not because they didn't care, but because sometimes silence is the only way to survive. While the Holocaust of Jewish people became widely known soon after the war, the Roma experience remained for decades largely invisible. This wasn't simply about forgetting, it was about the institutional systems that actively excluded Roma voices from the historical record. And today, together with my guests, Isabella and Daria, we are going to explore how this silence shaped not just individual families, but entire communities, and how those echoes still resonate in our world today, especially today as we witness new crises unfolding across Europe. Thank you both for being here. Before we dive in, could you briefly introduce yourself and share what brought you to this important field and work? Isabella?
Thank you so much. My name is Isabella Tiberiade. I'm a human rights educator and researcher. I was born in a traditional Romani family in a community in Craiova, Romania. I studied human rights and international law at the University of Malmo. And today I work on remembrance education, reparatory policies, and youth empowerment. And my work centers mainly on documenting the lived experiences of Roma members, especially from my community, because there is a lot of legacy and stories unfolding inside. And I especially think that oral history is very important to document survivor testimonies, and that's what I called memory activism. And I come from a family of Holocaust survivors, and I think that their stories shaped my understanding of their legacy and the history that I carry with me.
Thank you very much. And we definitely gonna to hear about the stories later. And yes, Daria.
Thank you, Tata. I'm really glad to be part of this conversation. My name is Daria and I'm 20 years old. I'm coming from a traditional Roma family from Craiova, Romania. I study law. I'm also part of a Roma youth resilience group where we work to support each other, share our histories, and learn how to speak up for our communities.
Thank you. Thank you. Should I say also something about me as a positionality here, why we are meeting here? I'm also born in Poland. I'm of a Roma origin, from very traditional Polska Roma group. And I've been working with different communities in Poland, in Germany. Also, I'm a member of ERIAC. And from the years, I'm supporting different communities, and not only from the arts and culture, and also from the social justice. This is very important. And let's start with something more maybe personal and foundation of the silence. The Holocaust of Roma is often called the forgotten Holocaust. And I'm just wondering, I want to challenge that word forgotten. When someone forgets, it's passive. But what happened to Roma stories in the past during the Holocaust feels more intentional. Did we forget? Or why the Roma victims? Should we call victims practically invisible in the post-war process of remembrance? And Isabella, first time when you hear about the Holocaust in your family, how did it start that you came to this interest, to this work?
Well, while you are saying that you are trying to challenge the word forgotten, I think the biggest challenge was the word Holocaust. So definitely when I first heard about Holocaust was through media representation, movies, literature, but it was about the Jewish. My parents used to talk a lot about the sufferings of their parents, but hardly understandable that those were my grandparents and that they also have been murdered, executed during the Second World War. And gradually I worked in various environments and I've learned more about the history. And that's when I engaged more in conversations with the elders. And it became such a precious moment to understand that I can still get these recollections, these memories from them. They are still alive. They are still here and I can get this information from them. And I think when we say forgotten, would refer to Roma forgotten in the Holocaust. And it was not by accident. It was definitely by design.
Yeah, we know that there is some evidence encountered in Nuremberg trials when they barely mention Roma victims, right? What does it say about us in here? But firstly, I wanted to ask you, Daria, how was with you in your family when you first about the Holocaust?
In my case, it was actually my dad who first told me about the Holocaust. I was little, I didn't really understand the meaning of it. I can remember that we were sitting in the kitchen after dinner, and out of nowhere, my dad was talking about how my grandmother was taken to Transnistria and telling us stories about how hard it was for her to be there. At first, I didn't understand what that meant. I had only ever heard about this from my dad. I had a really young age. So during that period, I didn't know how to take this information. But that moment stuck in my head. After then, I heard about it at school, but only the word Holocaust. It didn't really mention the Roma people that they were involved in this. So I had to make a connection between what my dad said and the things that I found out at school. And I made my research with this information, about this information, with also films, documentary, and so on. And this is how I found out that our people, suffered from this one and that they were silent about it and didn't really talk about it.
Exactly. And this is what I'm hearing also in my story, that I can see the moment when we hear the stories from families, from our beloved people, and then there is like conflict, what we're not hearing actually, what's missing there about our history, our ancestors. And how does it feel to learn that your grandparents were suffering because they were categorized as a social or a criminal, not from the racial categories, Isabella?
Yes, it's a really difficult topic and it's explorative. Like, you can really bring a lot of angles into this. And like I said, the Roma were forgotten in the Holocaust. And as I said, it was by design and it was not by accident. But what was not forgotten was inside our homes, our experience with our relatives, in our kitchens, in our daily life, in the quiet stories passed from grandmothers to grandchildren. And it's very, very difficult to create this connection with the history and with the personal history, like the history that you learn in textbooks, like, for example, about the Nuremberg trial and about the fact that in legislation, when Roma have been targeted, they were regarded as socials, vagabonds, criminals. But in the end, they were just targeted as the Jewish people as well. And this is what is missing.
Exactly. And I wanted to ask you, what goes through our mind when we realize that the silence lasted for 40 years, right? They just recognize the Holocaust after 40 years in Germany and the other scholars and academics. So what happened? Why did it happen?
I think the most important aspect is the lack of state representation, and political influence played a huge role in maintaining this state of silence. And it generated this acceptance that the stories and sufferings of Roma did not matter. And the first to believe this, I'm afraid to say, were the Roma themselves. And if we go back to Germany and their movement to create this recognition, to create remembrance, resilience, and all of this infrastructure, I think it is what led to all Europe and all the world to push a step in front. And this silence and this, let's say, erasure from the history, I think it's a big sign of racism.
Mm-hmm. This is what came to my mind when you were talking about it, that it's actually, we're not talking about the forgetting, we're talking about the erasing. And this is a different story. When I'm hearing you now, Daria, when you're referring to your story, when you hear all of these untold stories from your family, and then you find this, I don't know, impulse to go and to search for yourself. And this is something which I'm very impressed, because you're also working with the youth, with the Romani youth, our siblings. And what we need to just get more information about this, you know, what would be easier for you to find this connection between what you know from your family and what you start to know? And what did you find out, you know, with all this research you did on your own, that something is missing, right?
Yeah, well, now we focus on sharing the hidden stories of our grandparents, ancestors, and finding out about our history that we never found out before. We have to write our new stories by knowing what happened in the past. Our group is focusing on creating new ideas and helping each other to find out where we came from, where we are going, and what our nationality really is, because we feel like someone stole it from us, didn't really let us know where we came from, what our history is really is, and what happened in the past. Now we are trying to focus more on this subject, making memorial projects, laying maybe a flower down from the for our grandparents that died in Holocaust, in these kind of camps. And we're trying to honor them by making researches and knowledge ourselves about these subjects, because we are the future, and we have to be our voice, our ancestors' voice, because they didn't have a voice, so they didn't have a voice and they couldn't speak for themselves. So we have to do it for them.
Definitely, you have to do it. And we need to make the container for the support of all the young Romani siblings to get the knowledge and get to know the truth, actually. In terms of the support, in terms of the law, is there any attempt, you would say, in terms of the Europe and law execution, they're trying to support and uncover this story? If you can share about, because you mentioned that you work in the law implementation and the policy making.
Yes.
If this is something which help us to, you know, to find the new narratives and new languages and...
Thank you. This is actually a very interesting question, because it can capture what there has not been done and what we can do. And I think I can share a bit about the resources that we have now and how we create some tools to implement some practices at local level on what it means remembrance with us, like with our own actions, with our own desires. And here I want to mention that specifically Romania case, the Transnistria survivors, the elders, they didn't have support from the state in order to have healing, in order to have this, let's say, compensations, which is missing a lot from the politics when it comes about Roma. And I think this silence and this lack of awareness created and perpetuated more and more harm. So this is what I want to talk about. My grandmother, for example, that she was deported during World War II to Transnistria. She was 9 months and she survived like many others after they carried deep pain. And my words are failing to express that. But then decades later, in 1992, she found herself in Rostock in Germany with the entire group, migrating as an asylum seeker for a better life. And that's where it happened, an unspeakable violence in Rostock. There was a pogrom, and it's very well known, widely known about it in Germany, because it was the biggest racist attack in post-war Europe and Germany. And Romanian Roma, many of them asylum seekers, they were trapped inside this burning building that the attackers have surrounded. And hundreds of locals, they just cheered. The police did nothing. My grandmother survived again. And I think that this legacy lives in me. And I really believe that beside my legal expertise, it's very important to connect with the story, because this silence was not because we didn't care. It was because history kept repeating itself. And it's precisely this repetition that made me realize that memory is a form of resistance. And healing begins when we speak. So connecting this story of the Holocaust and the modern day pogrom, that's where we brought all of our energy and resources to create an initiative to create compensations, to create memorial sites, to create a space where their stories are shared and to explain why it's important to talk about history, because things are going to repeat themselves again.
This is my another reflection about the patterns we see from the history, where parents who survived horrific experience sometimes choose not to tell their children, as we heard before, Daria. Not out of the shame, you know, but out of love, you know, to protect them and us. And you mentioned, both of you, that you grew up with the stories, but also grew up with the silence. There are selective history aspects which was revealed to us. And it shaped us who we are today. And that's why we're looking for getting more knowledge. I have also the reflection when I see Roma families fleeing Ukraine today. And yes. Facing discrimination at borders, being separated from other refugees, I wonder, are we creating new traumas that will need new kinds of silence to survive? Again, as you mentioned, Isabella, the story goes now, happening now, and how we can work with our traumas if we can't recognize them first.
That's so profound. And so hard to actually find a conclusive answer to this.
Because I think it's an ongoing question, and this is what you're doing, Daria, coming together and looking for new languages and new narratives is something which we're doing. And this is exactly the place when we're meeting here for sharing your own stories and your own feelings and reflection around this. But after decades of institutional invisibility, Roma activists began organizing the recognition. There were some powerful milestones in our history in the struggle for justice. Any of you could mention about some milestones we have in our moment, in our communities? Like there was the first World Roma Congress in London in 71. We recognized the Holocaust. And now you're talking about the civil movements and memorial sites, which is very, very important to commemorate this. Daria, what is your reflection about the milestone our community have, and also from your local perspective? What are you satisfied? What are you proud of? What do you think that it's working?
Well, I think a milestone could be that we are allowed to learn Romani in schools. It means the language and the culture behind it. It's finally being recognized and respected. For many young Roma, it's a way to reconnect with the roots. For others, it's an opportunity to understand and value diversity. Teaching Romani in schools isn't just about language, it's about dignity, identity, and inclusion. Another milestone that I find it really important is the 2nd of August, where it's a day where they recognize the resilience of Roma people. And it's a really important day for us, for Roma people. So yeah, those two are really important.
That's very, very optimistic to hear about the language, assuming that we speak so many different dialects as Roma groups all around the world. I remember, like, even recently that the Google had the translation for the Romanes, and I wanted to ask you how you feel about this, that we has been recognized our language. How did you react to it that the Google have the Romanes?
When I for the first time when I heard about it, I had to check it myself because I didn't believe it. So I was really surprised in a good way that they introduced this language in Google Translate. That shows the importance they give us, and that they kind of trying to introduce our language everywhere and to make it officially. So yeah, it was a really nice thing to see there.
Yeah.
I was really shocked to see there.
That's really great. Now we can also refer to our languages. You mentioned about the one of the other milestones, which is like the 2nd of August, which is the commemoration Roma Day. Finally, the scholars and the historians, they acknowledge this. And after lots of discussion, now is the challenge, what they call competing memories. It's the concern that recognizing the Roma Holocaust might somehow diminish awareness of Jewish suffering, or vice versa. So, Isabella, how do you see this dynamic? Is it possible to honor all victims without creating hierarchy of suffering?
Of course, you can honor the victims without creating this hierarchy, because remembrance, it's not about competition. And even though Roma were denied memory, so definitely justice, this doesn't mean that it was something generated intentionally by the good believers in reparations. And I think what is important to mention is that the Jewish survivors were actually among the first to collect testimonies from Roma Holocaust victims. And you see, this solidarity really, really matters, because we really must remember together, and there's definitely not a competition. But when we remember, it needs to be with commitment. So I think what we lacked was this commitment and this help and this, let's say, infrastructure. And the Holocaust was a system of racial extermination. So both Jews and Roma were marked for that. This is not to contest. This is not to really question. But while Jewish suffering were rightly honored and remembered, Roma voices were pushed to the margins. And I think this emerged from the Nuremberg trial. This is my, I don't know, my understanding also as a professional working in legal systems. And I think, for example, in Romania, the genocide in Transnistria, the Roma were denied for decades to have national recognitions. They had no reparations, no public mourning, no spaces for remembrance. There was no real local or national commemorative events. So I think that when it comes about competition, like you said, I think it should be competition between the states, how to create more reparations, how to create more intensified help, and to shift their perspective and change their focus on the survivors and what they are dealing with, both the Jews with anti-Semitism and the Roma with anti-Gypsyism. I hope this is not problematic, but I really dream of a more successful connection between these two forms of exclusion and racism. And probably this would lead to a common understanding that we share a wound.
The wound needs to be recognized first.
Yes.
And then heal. That was my another question. How we exactly balancing the acknowledging the Jewish suffering while making sure that Roma voices are heard too. That's why we need to talk about our agencies. And from the activist perspective, how to approach this conversation about the Holocaust memory that include multiply victims? This is exactly what is very, very important.
Yes. So today there is a new generation of activists, like you said, that they are rising. And the most important is that we are telling our stories. We are recording, taping testimonies. We're building memory platforms. And this entire demand for recognition, I think it shapes a new form of memory. It makes us to understand that this is not about the past. It's about transformation for the present, for the future. Because what would be a tool for justice and dignity without actually taking it from the interior, from the inside?
From the inside. And yeah. That's why, Daria, I'm thinking about you as a Roma activist, young Roma activist today, you using different tools, social media,
exactly.
Right? Live streaming, digital documentation to record and share your experiences. And how do you see this connecting to the historical struggle for recognition? Is it very important to activists to document the war crimes in Ukraine, what's happening in the locality, and to be vocal? Does it help you, this digital social media? Is it something you, as a young activist, using very now? Because this is completely different than it was like 50, yeah. 80 years ago, right?
Exactly, yeah. I find it really important because our grandparents didn't have this chance. So now we can use it to share the world the history that they didn't know about it, the traumas and all the things that they didn't have the chance to have it. Now, through all these social media, we can connect really easy with the people that had the information to share with us or to let us hear their stories, take knowledge from different countries, cultures, to find more about each of us. Now it's so easy to connect with different people and culture, and that can help us to grow as person and to find about more their personalities and their grandparents, ancestors, how they their history was and what they had in the past, so we can compare our lives and grow together.
I really want to say that this is very important to develop the conversation outside of the Holocaust and what is happening today, like the context. So, like I mentioned, the pogrom in Rostock is a clear example how unresolved memory allows hatred to resurface. So that's why this important resilience that the Roma have is they are already traumatized by the past, and now they are treated again as unwanted others in Europe and not only. And I really think that social media is so important when it comes about language, because language in social media can be a tool for dehumanizing again. So that's also something very cautious to think about. And if we take the war in Ukraine, for example, is we see that the Roma refugees have been discriminated against, and even though everyone knew that they flee for their lives. So that's why this silence and this legacy, it makes us to believe that it's okay to accept this, because we don't know how to break this transgenerational traumas. Mm-hmm. And that's why what Daria is doing at local level and what all of us youngsters, it's so important, because we connect with the history, but also with its effects that are happening today.
And seeing these analogies nowadays, because it's not maybe in the past, and the things are repeating. And I want to share with my experience that I participated in Roma summer school in Berlin, when the Roman youth came here and we spent days to talk about the Holocaust, our histories, our reflections, emotions. And there was a lot of different very important moments of us. But one of this, what I also hear in your stories, Daria, and in your Isabella, that we creating the circles where we can share.
Yes.
We can share, sit down next to each other and listen. Mm. Because we nowadays we are overloaded with so many facts and stories and opinions. And from my experience, the most beautiful moments are coming when we're coming together. And first, what we need to just listen, to just learn to co-listen our histories, which is very like a paradoxical now when we started with talking about the silence. So it's like we're not silencing. We need to vocalize. We need to be vocal about what we believe and how we want to create this. There is a beautiful and heartbreaking quote from Cheia Stoica, who you probably know, and she's one of the very big heroines, Roma heroines. And she said, "Together, jointly and not alone, for only together we are strong."
It's so powerful.
What does it mean for you to hear this, you know?
I think it really shows how we Roma are. It's about our culture that we are together. We have this strength that we gather it from being in very sync energy. Mm-hmm. Cheia is a very important artist for me. She talks a lot about resistance and about the sunflower. Mm-hmm. And she really reclaims this flower as a flower of Roma. She even has a poem. And all her chromatics, visual language is so empowering and beautiful.
But it's interesting that she started to create only when she got older, right? She have this moment of not talking about
yes,
past,
it's the same story that we started to talk about. Yeah. This silence as a form of, I think, survival. Mm-hmm. Because maybe it was not a silence, but maybe it was just a form of processing. Mm-hmm. And maybe a form of healing.
And resistance maybe
and resistance,
as well.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, I only wanted to say that, as Isabella said, this come from our culture, that we together we are more powerful. And we can change what happened in the past by sharing and connecting with each other and fighting and be louder, not silent.
Yeah. As we wrap up slowly, I want to ask you both something personal. If you could speak directly to the Roma families now or our siblings hearing this podcast, the ones carrying their own silences, their own stories, what would you want them to know?
I really hope my siblings listen to this. Mm-hmm. And I really hope my friends and my family and everyone listens to this, because it's so beautiful when we can sit together and really share information, but also reflections. I want to say that this memory that we all have together, I think it should connect us even more. And I think that we are healing together. We are on a healing path. And I want to refuse to be erased. I want to refuse to be categorized. And I really want to say that memory is not only about pain and sorrows. It's also about resilience. And when we remember, we honor the strengths of those who had to bear unimaginable things, but we also honor our strength that we have it. And I'm very proud of everyone who makes efforts and really goes further in life.
Resilience is a really big subject.
Well, I would like to say that remembering Roma Holocaust means saying we were there, or we suffered, but we don't have to be silent about it. We have to come and to speak about it and don't let the history repeat again. So yeah, we have to fight for our rights.
I can't agree more. And we heard today very powerful words, and the words create the reality. That's why we need to be vocal. If there is any one thought you can to conclude and send a message to our listeners,
I would like to say that silence kept Roma history in the dark for too long. Now it's time to speak, to listen, and to remember, not just for the past, but for the justice today. Share these stories, make space for Roma voices. The future needs them, and we need them.
So I want to say this quote that is inspired by the work and poetry of Cia Stoica, because she means so much to me, and I think she means so much to many of us. And she pictures a lot of roads and a lot of pathways, and the quote is, "The hardest path to walk on is the one not meant for you." And I think that Roma have been enough forced to walk on a path that is not their path. And I really, really hope that we will create our own path, that no one forces us to suffer or to feel less.
Should we say Opere Roma?
Yes, of course.
Opere Roma. Thank you, Isabella and Daria. First of all, for your presence as the crucial part of all of us coming together to give our presence, to sit down and to listen to the story and co-listen. Thank you for your insights, for your commitment, and ensuring that these voices are heard. To our listeners, thank you for holding the space for these stories. To the Roma families and siblings listening, your voices matter. Your stories matter. Your silence was protection, and your speaking is a power.